Welcome back to the NoraCast Tech Briefing. Today, we're looking at a pretty incredible technical breakthrough that is allowing developers to run massive, frontier-level AI models on everyday laptops.
It really feels like a magic trick. We are talking about running a 26 billion parameter model on a standard Apple Silicon Mac, but doing it with just 2 gigabytes of RAM. The implications for local AI are huge.
We'll also be digging into some of the growing pains we're seeing with AI coding agents, specifically how Claude Code is struggling with severe token bloat as its capabilities expand, and how the community is trying to solve it.
It turns out that when you give an autonomous agent too many tools at once, it starts forgetting what it was originally doing. It's a fascinating bottleneck in agentic workflows.
Exactly. Plus, we have a roundup touching on e-reader hacking, new networking tricks for Kindles, and a look back at the wild user interfaces of the retro demo scene. Let's get into it. Let's start with what might be the most impressive hardware optimization hack we've seen this month. There's a new open-source inference engine called Turbo Fieldfare that has figured out how to run Google's Gemma 426B model on Apple Silicon Macs using only about 2 gigabytes of RAM.
Which, on paper, should be impossible. Gemma 426B4B is a heavy piece of machinery. Google released it back in April 2026, and it's a mixture of experts model. It has 26 billion total parameters, and even though only 4 billion are active during any given inference step, you still traditionally need to load the entire weight file into VRAM or unified memory just to run the thing.
Right. Normally a model of that size, even aggressively quantized, is going to eat up something like 14 to 16 gigabytes of memory. If you're on a base model MacBook Air with 8 gigs of unified memory, you're entirely locked out of running frontier-level open weights. But Turbo Fieldfare bypasses that by aggressively streaming the model weights directly from the SSD.
And they are doing this through custom metal-fused kernels. Basically, they've implemented a system with intense I/O and compute overlap. While the GPU is crunching the math for the current layer of the neural network, the system is simultaneously fetching the weights for the next layer directly from the solid-state drive, bypassing the need to hold everything in RAM.
The performance numbers they are reporting are frankly stunning. On an older M1 MacBook Air, they are seeing 4 to 5 tokens per second. That's a bit slower than reading speed, but it's completely usable for background tasks. If you move up to an M2 Air, you get 5 to 6 tokens per second.
But where it gets really crazy is on the newer, higher bandwidth hardware. On an M4 MacBook Pro, this engine pushes 26 to 29 tokens per second. And if you have the latest M5 MacBook Pro, you're hitting 31 to 35 tokens per second. At 35 tokens a second, that is generating text faster than you can actively read it, all while sipping just 2 gigs of your system memory.
It really democratizes access to these massive models. But I do have to ask the obvious hardware question here. If you are constantly streaming gigabytes of model weights off an SSD every single second to generate text, aren't you going to absolutely shred the lifespan of that drive? Apple's SSDs are soldered to the motherboard. If you hit the terabytes written limit, your whole laptop is essentially dead.
That is the giant flashing caveat with this approach. Reading from an SSD doesn't degrade the NAND flash cells anywhere near as much as writing to them does. The wear and tear on a drive is primarily tied to write cycles, not read cycles. So theoretically, just streaming the weights for inference is heavily read-biased. But you still have to consider the thermal load on the storage controller.
That makes sense. Even if it's mostly reads, keeping the SSD pinned at maximum bandwidth for extended periods is going to generate a lot of heat. If you're running a massive batch processing job overnight using this engine, I'd be a little worried about the thermals on a fanless machine like the MacBook Air.
Exactly. It's a brilliant technical showcase, but it's probably better suited for interactive chat sessions rather than running an autonomous agent 24/7. Still, the fact that we can do this at all shows how much untapped potential there is in the memory architecture of these M-series chips.
It also makes you wonder if this streaming approach represents a viable path forward for running even larger models. If we can stream a 26 billion parameter model smoothly, what happens when Apple releases the M6 with even faster storage bandwidth? Could we be streaming 100 billion parameter models locally?
think there's a hard ceiling on latency eventually, but we clearly haven't hit it yet. Turbo Field Fair proves that the bottleneck for local AI isn't necessarily compute anymore. It's entirely about data logistics. If you can move the data fast enough, the GPU can chew through it. Speaking of autonomous agents, let's talk about some of the friction developers are hitting with Claude Code. There's a new issue gaining traction on the Anthropic GitHub repository, specifically issue 82346, which requests a deferred or lazy-loaded skill catalog to combat severe token bloat.
This is a classic scaling problem. Claude Code is an agentic command line tool, meaning it operates autonomously in your terminal to edit files, run Git commands, and execute scripts. To do all this, it relies on a skill catalog, a list of capabilities it knows how to use. The problem is, right now, the system injects the full description of every single available skill directly into the system prompt.
Which is fine if you only have 5 or 10 skills, but developers are extending Claude Code with massive custom toolkits. The issue notes that loading 50 to 100 plus skills can consume thousands of tokens per message. That eats up a massive portion of the AI's limited context window.
Right, and because those thousands of tokens are appended to every single message in the conversation history, you hit context compaction incredibly fast. The session longevity plummets. The model starts forgetting earlier instructions or hallucinating because the context window is just choked with tool schemas it isn't even using. The proposed solution here is fascinating because it borrows a concept already used by the Model Context Protocol, or MCP. They want a deferred loading pattern. Basically, instead of dumping the full JSON schema of every skill into the prompt, you just give the AI a lightweight index or a search tool.
Exactly. MCP tools already use this defer loading pattern. They have a mechanism where the tool names appear in the prompt, but the full definitions are only fetched on demand. If the AI thinks it needs a specific tool, it uses a search function, something like tool search tool regulus, to pull the full schema into context only when it's actively required.
It's progressive disclosure for AI, but I do see a risk here. If the full description of a skill isn't in the initial context window, how does the model know that a specific niche tool even exists? Doesn't this require the AI to proactively guess that it should search its toolkit?
That's the core trade-off. You are trading prompt bloat for a slight increase in latency and a potential hit to discoverability. The model has to be smart enough to realize, I am facing a problem I don't immediately know how to solve. Let me query my skill index. If the index summaries are too brief, the model might just try to write a custom bash script instead of using the highly optimized pre-built skill you provided.
It highlights how managing AI context is becoming just as complex as traditional memory management and software engineering. We're essentially building virtual memory paging systems, but for prompt tokens instead of RAM.
That's a perfect analogy. And as these agentic workflows become standard, the developers building the harnesses around the models are having to reinvent decades-old computer science concepts to keep the AI focused and efficient.
All right, let's pivot and hit a few more stories real quick in our roundup.
Sounds good. We've got a lot of interesting community updates today, starting with a few more tweaks developers are begging for in Claude Code.
Sticking with Claude Code, issue 82348 is asking for a deferred message submission option. Right now, if you type a message while the agent is mid-task, it treats it as immediate steering, which interrupts whatever script or tool it was currently running.
Which is great if you want to stop it from making a mistake, but terrible if you just want to queue up the next task. Users want a second submit key binding that basically says, finish what you are doing, then read this. It's a small workflow fix, but crucial for people using it as an asynchronous assistant.
And in issue 82344, a user is requesting that when you attach a text selection as context in the desktop app, it pastes in line as a block quote with a double greater than prefix, rather than showing up as a collapsed quotation mark icon.
This is a pure UI density complaint. When you attach several snippets, the current interface just shows identical collapsed icons. You can't tell which snippet is which without clicking on them, which completely breaks your flow when you're managing complex context windows.
Shifting gears to hardware, KO Reader is getting some renewed attention.
It's a free, open-source document viewer built primarily in Lua, designed for e-ink devices like Kindles, Kobos, and the Remarkable tablet.
It's the ultimate power user tool for e-readers. It supports practically every format: EPUB, PDF, DJV, CBZ, and gives you granular typesetting control that stock firmware just doesn't offer. It doesn't natively sync highlights across devices, but for keeping older, unsupported e-readers functional and snappy, it is unmatched.
And if you are running custom software on your e-reader, a community-updated version of Tailscale for jailbroken Kindles now supports proxy and ton modes, courtesy of maintainer GreyWolf1499. This is huge for self-hosters. The proxy mode exposes SOX 5 on port 1055 and HTTP Connect on 1056. This means apps like CoReader can securely reach out across your private tailnet to grab books from your home Calibre server or audiobook shelf, completely bypassing Amazon's cloud ecosystem. Finally, an article from datagubbe.se titled "User Interfaces of the Demo Scene" is making the rounds, looking back at the bizarre, highly specialized software tools built by the demo scene subculture to squeeze maximum performance out of retro hardware.
It's a great read. It highlights trackers like Fast Tracker 2 and Impulse Tracker. These tools had totally non-standard, baroque UIs that ignored all traditional usability rules, but they were so tactile and constraint-driven that many power users still consider them superior to modern, generalized software design.
And that's all the time we have for today's briefing.
Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow with more updates from the edge of tech.
See you then.